Welcome to the Coat Hanger on 2SER 107.3. We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast and record this show, the Gadigal of the Eora Nation, and we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. The Coat Hanger is a show and podcast where we tackle women's footy with a Sydney view. I'm your host, Fiona Lamb, and I'm joined by
Emma Phillips, speaking to you from Bidjigal country tonight.
Nat Morgan, I'm on Gadigal land, and I found that the name of Marrickville is, the Aboriginal name for Marrickville is Fuller Naming.
And Tracy Kick, joining you from Darawal land.
In this week's show, we look at the ladder at the end of round five. Hot pies is the hot take from that. Nat will update us vis-a-vis the tipping comp. And I hear bragging rights are yours, Nash.
We each share. Are they?
I think they are. I think that might
don't
be
go
why
too
you,
early, Nat Morgan.
Why you insisted on including it? We each share our highlights from round five, and we'll examine the fixture going forward. But before all of that, for our first quarter, let's celebrate the Indigenous round that was, and we'll start with this audio from the Witten Oval game with Coach Kiwi and her Kiwis crew, and she had a bit of a chat to Kirby Finley.
Okay, so you know you're sitting here with Kiwi's crew in the grandstand. I'm actually with grandstand royalty with Kirby Kirby. If you ever heard voices in the crowd, this is the queen of voices in the crowd. Kirbs, now today you're answering my questions. Which team has the best Guernsey in your eyes for Indigenous round? And do you think we should be wearing them all season long?
Those are two very, very tough questions. So good job on that one.
I like tough questions.
Favourite jumper? That's really hard. I was just looking at them before trying to pick a favourite. I feel like I shouldn't say the Bulldogs because that's way too easy. Although I do like it. I think probably for me a couple of standouts were or are the Geelong jumper. Really, really liked that one. And also, I really liked the Melbourne jumper because even though Alicia Newman is no longer playing for Melbourne, she's a part of their jumper, which I thought was really beautiful. But I think all the clubs did such a brilliant job, I think, engaging Indigenous artists or even players with Indigenous who are Indigenous to make those jumpers. All super, super special. In terms of whether they should wear them every year, look, I am a big advocate for the AFL getting on board with the roots of this game. You know, Marnbrook, we know that's where AFL come from, as much as
that Irish folk said no.
Yeah, as much as head office might want to distance themselves from that story. So I don't see why not. I don't feel like we should be restricting these jumpers to Indigenous realms. Like, why can't we wear them all throughout the year? And I'm pretty sure Adelaide are doing that. And the Giants have, Collingwood have. So, why not? Let's wear them more often and let's have a real conversation about participation of Indigenous players, coaches, administrators in our game.
Fantastic. I tend to agree.
Good.
So that was Kirby Fenwick, she of Siren Sport and Kick Like a Girl. And there was so much to love about Indigenous Round, celebrating Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander communities. What did the panel love about Indigenous Round? Em, I'm going to throw to you first.
Yeah, look, it was obviously just fantastic to see every one of the clubs jump on board with that. I think there were particularly some designs. I mean, all the designs were amazing and had some fabulous stories behind them. I particularly liked the jumpers that Carlton wore and the Bulldogs wore. The Carlton story of the mother tree, and there was lots of symbols of female empowerment in there. So, you know, really fantastic to see that that's an aspect to perhaps the women's game that we're seeing that's fresh from AFLM. Also pretty amazing to see the many of the clubs warm up before the matches with the Free the Flag campaign t-shirts on, which is, you know, of course, looking at the fact that the Aboriginal flag is copyrighted and can't be used in the ways that many people would like to use it. So there's a major campaign on to release that copyright so it can be used. But others might have some thoughts on that.
Trace?
Yeah, look, I really love the jumpers, and Emma, I've got to agree. The stories behind the jumpers are different for the AFLW and often celebrating many Aboriginal mobs and matriarchs have matriarchs. So I think that the celebration of women and the roles of women in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture is important. I love that a number of players wore specially hand-painted boots. I heard one of the commentators say that their daughter said, "Daddy, can you get me some of those?" So I don't think that's that you can't get those specially painted ones. And I think Alicia Jantz wore some that spoke to her Torres Strait culture. And I believe Erin Todd had a pair designed, Giants player, but didn't get selected, so wasn't able to run out in them. But I'm sure she'll bring them out when she's next selected.
And Nat, what do you love?
Out at the start of the game, the captains also exchange gifts with each other. And the history behind that is sort of for thousands of years as the Aboriginal communities would come across each other, they would present each other with either food or tools or also non-objects, like they would have song or dance, or they'd always exchange something of their rituals with each other. And so the teams presented each other with small gifts. And it was just a nice start to the game. It's a bit like we come in peace, I guess. And, it's good.
I love the gifts. And I reckon we should extend that gift giving to Pride Round, which, of course, we've just gone through. But can you imagine the possibilities of Pride Round gifts? Sensible shoes, overalls, Bunnings vouchers, nail clippers, a couple of cats. It goes on.
And a trailer, Emma.
That's right. A U-Haul trailer. Yep, that's the one.
No, well, U-Haul to move
not
in.
Not swapping that. Great idea.
Oh, dear. Very good. I really do get the feeling that there's a heightened, genuine approach to this, and that embracing the culture and embracing the storytelling is different in the women's game from what we've seen so far in others. I'm excited about that. I really love the storytelling in the teams. I find that quite moving. We're all talking about the Alicia Newman story, of course, but this storytelling in that art is so very precious, and I just love that we get to celebrate it and keep learning. There's so much to learn, and there seems to be a real push to wear those Guernseys throughout the season, which I think is great. And I think that is it Collingwood who have done that, and one other team perhaps? Oh, Giants were wearing their Indigenous strip away. Trace.
Fee, I think that a couple of the teams have chosen to wear that as their away strip, as you said, so that that just remains a strip, and I think that's a great idea. The other thing I wanted to say was I loved the celebration of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander players. I know for sure the Lions threw their three Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders into the middle of the song. So it was a great celebration and acknowledgement of their contribution to the team. So that was another great aspect of the weekend.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our second quarter and talk about some of the highlights throughout the round. Or lowlights too. So we've had a few more ACLs reported, or suspected ACLs. Em, did you have those details? Nat has those details. I'm sorry.
Nat. That's okay. No, look, there's been three bad knees, two confirmed as ACLs and season-ending injuries. So that was Jordan Membury from Collingwood and Olivia Purcell from Geelong. And Deanna Berry has had the scans and they're just waiting on results. But I think hers probably looked worse than any at the time. I don't think anyone has any doubts that she'll be gone as well. But look, all three of them are all pretty young, and the clubs have come out and said they will, support them. Obviously, I assume financially and with the physio and things like that in the off season. They should be right for, midway through next season, I guess.
Yeah, Lisa Catto raised that on Twitter, I think today, saying these clubs come out and say in the women's game that someone has an ACL injury and the club will support them. And she says that never happens in the men's game. It's a given. So she was saying, why do they feel the need to state this? Is it just one more thing that women have to be grateful for?
Well, I'm not sure. I see that, but I guess it would also be because they're only employed for 5 months, and so they're only looked after for 5 months. So the club are going outside themselves, saying that they will look after them at the moment. I mean, yes, it seems like crazy that they're not looked after, but they're just saying we're not dumping you at the end of, you know, the final series, that, you know, we're here for you and you can use our facilities and everything. But wouldn't it be nice when they don't have to say that, that you know, that it's just an assumed and a given.
Yeah. Trace?
Yeah, definitely, Nat. I think you're spot on. You know, while we'd like the athletes to be full time, the fact that they're offered rehab in the off season is good, and it does enable players to try and get back for the next season, because I think some of the clubs will kind of tolerate about 12 months out with an ACL. And if you can't sort of get back, they've got to kind of have a look down the list. So that's another struggle for the players, you know, whereas I think too, Emma DeBerry has only just, this has been her first injury-free sort of start to the season. So it was very disappointing for her. She looked absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the upper, on a positive note, Richmond got their first win. Yay, Tigers. It's about bloody time.
Did they go over the top with their celebrations, though? I'm going, it's not a grand final, girls. It's just a bloody round.
Yes, but I think that you should have just let them soak
let
in the moment.
Let them have their moment, Nat.
Stop being all a right, miserable right.
boxy Collingwood supporter.
They've got a taste now. Now I want to see them concentrate on doing it on a regular basis.
They've been so close for weeks. So I think that, you know, that belief and the ability to win, you know, they may keep coming. They just might keep coming at us.
Yeah, really feeling for the Cats at the moment, though. Em, what highlight did you want to share with us? Just the one. Just the one, dear. Just the one.
Just the one. I've got so many written down. Okay, probably Jazz Garner's 32 touches for North Melbourne on the weekend. 32 touches, one goal, seven marks. She's now averaging 20 disposals for this season as well, which is equal to her average for last season. So she's flying. I think she had a slightly slow start by her lofty standards, but 32 touches is a pretty decent return. So that's my highlight for the round.
And she seems to have a fitness up, doesn't she? She's all over the ground collecting those possessions.
Yeah, incredible engine. It's really, she's quite the phenomenon, really. And I'm amazed that they haven't really, she hasn't attracted a hard tag every week yet. And perhaps that's testament to North Melbourne's other fine midfielders that she hasn't.
Careful, they might be listening.
Oh. They never would have thought had I not said that either.
Take that on board. Yeah. Trace.
Fee, I'd like to call out Courtney Hodder playing in front of her home crowd in Fremantle for the Brisbane Lions, her first time playing in Perth. And she had an absolute ripper, young Indigenous woman, so she had more than one thing to be celebrating on the day. Kicked an unbelievable goal and almost two unbelievable goals. I think she ended up with one goal too. But if you didn't see it, you should go back and have a look at the replay of those goals. Absolutely sensational talent.
It was really exciting to see her play, wasn't it? Just to watch the game she had. Fantastic. Hey, Nat, what's hot in the huddle?
Hot in the huddle? Let me think. Could it be the ladder on the tipping competition? I've got a whole page dedicated to this, so bear with me. Who's in first place? Is it one Natty P. Morgan? I've jumped from fourth to first in one round. Thank you very much indeed. Leapfrogged over Hales, the one who's been hogging the limelight week after week. Emma, see you later. You're down in third.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And then there's a chick called Mary Ann who's dropped into fourth place, and Elvis, I don't know where Elvis has come from, 16th place, but Elvis is alive and well and tipping fine at the moment to make the top five. So, Trace, 15th position for you. V, you're in 28th, which is a huge improvement. Congratulations.
Thanks, but, Matt.
Now, Coach Kiwi's not here, and I think that's because she was too embarrassed to face the news that she's in 33rd place on the tipping competition ladder. For someone who rates herself as super coach and knowledge, the font of all knowledge, come to Natty's kicking clinics from now on and tipping clinics.
She and Nick Graves are having a roaring time goading each other about their picks. So it's quite funny to listen to.
Good work. Well, the Pies are helping me out. Normally I go with my heart and pick Collingwood every year, every game, and it doesn't normally work in my favour, but it is this season. So keep it up.
You're especially gleeful tonight, Nat Morgan. I wonder why.
Chuffed.
Top ladder in two counts.
Speaking of.
Not smug.
Have I burnt the roof of my mouth? Hot pies.
Well, I did see someone call them flag pies the other day. I didn't mind that. So I think that was in someone's article during the week. So flag pies.
I love it. Who would have thought? I mean, really, from the depths of despair to the heights that they've reached now, it's so exciting. I did see quite a bit of the VFLW team in 2019. And I'm not surprised that it has that they're having the season they're having. It's just so impressive, and I think that momentum really has carried forward. It's great to see. Trace?
Can't go without mentioning the Brizzy Lions, I'm sorry, but it might be about hot pies. But I heard the commentators say, oh, the Lions, they've come from nowhere. No, they haven't come from nowhere. They've actually been chipping away, typical Victorian reporting on the football, that, you know, the Lions are the great sudden achievers. They had their moment in the sun on the top of the ladder, and then the hot pies came. But, yeah, I think one of the things about the week was Lions' performance over Freo, because I tipped Freo. I thought that the combination of Freo was just going to be too good for my Brisbane Lions. Ouch. So I am loving the hot pies. I think they're showing some fantastic football, and it's going to be interesting as we move into these last four rounds, that's for sure.
Premiership race is open, isn't it, with that loss that Freo have suffered to the Brisbane Lions, and there's a good sort of five contenders. And I heard people talking about the Bulldogs as well, ask the question, are they actually contenders now? Didn't start very well, but hard to resist at this point.
It is pretty exciting. I mean, everyone's saying Adelaide and well, they were saying Freo, but it's still open to several teams. However, how the mighty have fallen. Carlton, did Maddie Prespakis's suspension this week, did that cost them the grand final, possibly the premiership? Thoughts?
They weren't close enough. Maddie just sort of rubbed salt into the wound, I think, in the weekend's match. But they were sort of touted as, you know, grand final favourites, or certainly talked about pre-season.
Yep.
And they've not shown it. They were sitting last week, we all talked about North Melbourne being out of the top six. Well, Carlton was sitting a game behind, well, a rung on the ladder lower to them. They were the other surprise, I think. So I don't think Maddie's one game out has cost them. She could have made the difference in that match, but they'll still be sitting outside, and I can't see them shaking their way in at this stage into the top six.
Yeah, well, they've got a higher percentage, but they're on the same points as GWS. So that's telling. Trace?
Going to be a struggle from that position for GWS and for Carlton, I think. Mm. But we've got to remember, you can't build a team based on one player's performance, and you've got to play with who you've got, not who you haven't got. That's you know, what I always have stood by is the
sounds
team
like basic physics to me.
Who you have. Exactly. So did she cost them the game? No, I don't think so. And if she did, then their game plan relies on her too much.
Yep. Nat?
No, I think, look, I was just going to say about basing your game around one player. Adelaide's big win on the weekend, and Erin Phillips only kicked one goal. The love was spread around, and the weight of the game, and everyone took responsibility, and I think that happens at Collingwood too. The good sides, they're consistent from one end of the field to the other. So, yeah, you're right.
Adelaide could have kicked 100 points, I reckon, if they'd been kicked straight. They had 47 inside 50s or some few number.
Can I just say something about kicking straight? I went through my little stats. Goalless quarters. Geelong had two goalless quarters. They lost the game. Giants, one goalless quarter, lost. Freo had three goalless quarters. What'd they do? They lost two. Carlton and St Kilda both as well. They all had losing quarters. The only one was Collingwood had one scoreless quarter, but they had such dominance in the other quarters that they could have a little rest.
It was a game of four quarters.
It is a game of four quarters, and you've got to kick goals to win the game.
Yep.
Someone needs to tell Geelong that at the moment.
Yes.
Can I just on that, Geelong have kicked eight goals in five matches. That is eight goals in 20 quarters of football.
This is your bugbear, Emma, isn't it?
It is. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Nat, because I was bashing on about this last year, and I was going to actually raise the fact that they didn't kick many last year. I thought, no, we won't go back there, but here we are anyway. Geelong, I mean, they've just got better players than that. I don't understand. Why is it so? How are they going to get goals?
Now with Olivia Purcell out, senior and experienced player, they've got no hope for the rest of the season. Yeah. They'll be lucky to, I don't know, well, not even win a game, but, stop embarrassing themselves.
Mm, indeed.
The expansion sides are struggling now, aren't they? If you have a look, generally. The interstate sides are well, Freo and Brizzy beating the other Victorian states up on the ladder. But the expansion sides are still struggling. There seems to be still a significant gap between those expansion sides and the original teams.
Do you think they need some special assistance, Trace, at this point?
Not sure. I think in retrospect, I love the expansion coming because, I just love to see women's footy expanding. But in retrospect, it probably was too quick. And in a way, COVID has probably done a bit of a favour in slowing down the expansion and causing a little bit of stop and pause. I don't know, Em. I don't know the answer because, everyone spoke about Geelong, having their VFLW team prior to coming in, and they were going to, they're going to be a, well-oiled machine, and they had enough talent in the side to, to carry the youngsters and the inexperienced. But yeah, it's a puzzle. Maybe for another time.
Hmm. Put you on the spot. Sorry
we're
about
reminded
that.
Again about how short a season it is, and how every game is like a finals game. There's so much riding on each game. There's no sort of ebbing and flowing to the season. There's no time for that. And on that note, let's talk about the fixture going forward. So the fixture came out as usual halfway through Saturday, and we're having the Western Derby again. They're playing it again. And so I'm a bit upset about this. I may have thrown a small to medium-sized tantrum on Twitter in response to that announcement from AFL Women's. And I said, you've caved. Why bother playing finals now? It just feels really – I don't actually know all the details about borders. I don't know who's shut out. But I don't see how this decision to play the Western Derby again, so that's West Coast Eagles and Fremantle. They've already played. We already know how good Fremantle are. We already know how West Coast Eagles struggle, although they've got their first win on the weekend. What's the point of this? Why is this happening, and what does it say for the fixture going forward? Nat?
Well, the problem is the Victorian border to WA, they've closed off at the moment. So they're WA teams can't come over and play the seven Victorian sides or Geelong, same. And they've already played Adelaide, both West Coast and Freo have both played Adelaide and the Giants. And so they've already had that game. And so saving on flights and airfares and travel costs, they're having another one at home. So if they don't play each other, they don't play. And then that stuffs up your draw and your ladder a lot more. So a game, and it might end up being the percentage blowout that Freo might need to get back to the top of the ladder, which is a shame. But yeah, some clubs don't play each other once, let alone twice, and it's when there's an imbalance in the standard. It's tricky, but that's the thinking behind it. And all I noticed, quite a few of the coaches, Mick Stanier and Freo's coach, are like, they're all saying, oh well, it's good, at least they're playing. And I guess you've got to ride that line.
Yeah, and I think we do need to be reminded that it was not a perfect fixture to begin with. And I joked at the start of the year when people were saying, yay, no conferences. And yes, indeed, we do have one single ladder, and that's great. But my joke is, when is a conference not a conference? When the AFL says it isn't one. Because we still have a sort of a semi-conference with this fixture, because not everyone plays everyone. There are some teams, as you say, who are not playing one another. I haven't gone through in detail, so I can't actually say, oh, there's Conference A and Conference B. It may not be worked out that way. But until we at least play each other once, it's not going to be a competition of integrity. Any more thoughts, Em?
It's interesting, this idea that, conferences disappeared at the start of this season, much to pretty well everyone's delight. and they've really disappeared from the consciousness. And like you say, Fee, I think in that sort of disappearance of conferences, we've disappeared the idea also that teams are still not playing each other, you know, and it only gets raised every now and then. To be honest, I had it at the back of my mind. And I think also for the fact of COVID disrupting so much of everything, so much of football, there's been just an allowance of, you know, things happening that don't normally happen. And that's a pretty oversimple comment, but, you know, it means the AFL can perhaps get away with a few things that we might call them up on usually because people are sort of saying, oh, well, look, it's COVID. What can we do? You know, and to a degree, that's true. I don't necessarily share your sort of rage, I suppose, Fee, that about the lack of integrity in the competition. I think there is, and there's an edge that's come off the integrity in having that Western Derby going again. But I think for the most part, the integrity is still there, given the restrictions of COVID.
So it was already a broken toy and we should just be glad that we got three wheels.
Oh, look, damn you. The old crumbs thing again, isn't it? There we are.
Just be happy for the crumbs. Okay, well, we do need to move on. So this weekend, GWS travels to Canberra to play Brisbane Lions at Manuka Oval, Saturday the 6th of March at 3:10pm. I won't be there. I'll be lining up with my motorcycle for the Mardi Gras Parade, which is in the SCG. Yes, the hallowed turf. Actually, we're going to be riding on AstroTurf, so don't worry. We're not going to ruin the ground, but that's where I'll be. So I will not be at that game. Em, you said you might be going?
I think we'll likely be there. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Manuka is such a great ground to watch footy from. So hopefully it's a happy hunting ground for the Giants too.
Yeah, it was last time we played there, I think wasn't it? Last time I was there anyway.
Last time I was there, they won, but that was in 2018.
Right.
So that was a little while ago. Was that the same time you were there, Fee? Anyway, I think Brizzy is going to be too good for them. I know I'm one-eyed, but.
Yeah, well, they've got to get a bit more out of their forwards, don't they, the Giants? I mean, that, you know, their midfield's ticking over beautifully. You've got the obvious in Parker, who's flying.
And Beeson. Beck
Beeson's playing such a great season. You've got support from Eva, as always, who's reliable. But also they're winning the hitouts. I think the Giants are actually the top team for hitouts in the competition. So they're getting use of it. They're getting plenty of movement. They're controlling the footy through large parts of a lot of games, but they're not converting. Now, whether that's an issue of delivery or forwards or both, it's difficult to pick. They've got a couple of good forwards up there too, so I'm not sure where their goals are going to come from.
Well, try and catch Em in the stands there, and we'll catch your
come
voice
up
from
for
the
an
stands.
Autograph if you like.
Last words, Nat.
I was just going to say, I think there'll be a number of changes to the Giants side this week. There were a few passengers last week, and I think they might get a bit of a scare and a kick up the bum, and Alan may send a couple of them, I was going to say, back to the twos. Unfortunately, there is no twos. It'll be just club training, I think. So,
yeah.
And just quickly, the Rising Stars, Michaela Bauer from West Coast and Ellie McKenzie from Richmond, the two teams who got their first win for the season, they've both got to play against the Rising Star. And the highlight for Michaela Bauer, I think, was she had plenty of possessions, but she had about 47 bounces of the ball. Talk about confidence. She just ran up and down the field bouncing the ball. She was great. The confidence of these young kids is fantastic. And Vivian Saad from North Melbourne rubbed out for a match, unless she challenges. And then just a couple of reprimands and fines. So good luck, everyone, for this weekend.
All right. Get out and watch those games. Get tickets if you're able to and get to a game. This is the Coat Hanger Football Radio Show. I have to finish up because there isn't time to say everything, but for the best harbour views in women's footy,
Tune in to the Coat Hanger.
Hey, and you're back with Kiwi's Crew in the crowd. And this week's question is, which is your favourite Indigenous jersey and should we be wearing them all season long? Go!
Definitely the Melbourne Demons one, designed by Crystal Petreski. The story behind it is pretty amazing. If you haven't seen it, go and have a look. And most definitely wear them all year round.
Look, it's a tough one. It's a really tough one. I like the Bulldogs and I really like Frio, but I have to give it to Geelong. Like with the Geelang on the back,
yes.
I can't go past that one.
And should we wear them all year round?
What I would really love to see would be an Indigenous Pride Guernsey.
Oh, you heard it here, folks, first. How about that? Hey, today we're coming to you from the Sharon Stand at the Collingwood versus Demons game, and it's Kiwi's Crew in the stands, and our question is,
Which is your favourite Indigenous jumper, and should we be wearing them for all our away games, not just one weekend?
I'm going to have to go with Carlton, and I definitely think that we should be wearing them for every game because they look awesome, and that's the respect that we should be paying.
Your favourite Indigenous jumper is the Bulldogs. I like the symbolism of the emu, the footprint looking forward, and for the wearing of the Indigenous jumper, not just for Collingwood, but I'd like to see it as an away jumper. And not just Collingwood, but AFL, especially with our history and the history of the AFL, it'd be great.
Tune in to the Coat Hanger.